Continued your love 133 to 136. The second question. After this, they took up the second question of discussion. Why is man not born into the science of any love, when yet beasts and birds, both the noble and the ignoble, are born into the sciences of all their loves? First, they confirmed the truth of the proposition by various considerations, as with respect to man, that he is born into no knowledge, not even into the knowledge of conjugal love. And making inquiry, they heard from the investigators that an infant cannot apply itself to the mother's breast from any connate knowledge, but must be applied to it by the mother or nurse, that it knows only how to suck, and that it has acquired this from continual suction in the womb, that later it does not know how to walk, nor how to articulate sound into any human word, nay, nor even how to express by sound the affections of its loves, as do beasts, and further, that it does not know any food suitable to itself, as do all beasts, but sees upon whatever is before it, clean or unclean, and puts it into its mouth. The investigators said that without instruction, man does not know even the distinction of sex, and knows absolutely nothing of the modes of loving the sex, and that even maidens and young men, though educated in various sciences, are ignorant of these modes unless they have learned them from others. In a word, that man is born corporeal like a worm, and remains corporeal unless he learns from others how to know, to understand, and to become wise. They then confirm the statement that beasts, noble and ignoble, such as animals of the earth, birds of the air, reptiles, fishes, grubs, which are called insects, are born into all the sciences of their life's loves, thus into all that pertain to nourishment, into all that pertain to habitation, into all that pertain to love of the sex and procreation, and into all that pertain to the rearing of the young. This they confirmed by the marvels which they recalled to memory from what they had seen, heard, and read in the natural world. So they called our world, in which they had formerly lived, where the beasts are not representative, but real. The truth of the proposition being thus established, they then directed their minds to investigate and discover the ends and causes whereby they might unfold and disclose this arcanum. They all said that such things must needs come from divine wisdom, to the end that man may be man and beast, thus that man's imperfection at birth becomes his perfection, and the beast's perfection at birth is its imperfection. 134. Then first those on the north began to express their mind. They said, man is born without knowledges, that he may be able to receive knowledges. Were he born into knowledges, he could receive none but those into which he was born, and then he could not himself appropriate any. This they illustrated by the following comparison. A man just born is like ground wherein no seeds have been planted, but which yet can receive all kinds of seed, and bring them forth, and make them fruitful. But a beast is like ground already sown, and which, being filled with grasses and herbs, will not receive other seeds than those which have been sown. And if it did, it would choke them. Hence it is that man's growth to maturity extends through many years, and during these years he can be cultivated like ground, and can bring forth, as it were, grains and flowers and trees of every kind, while a beast's growth extends through but few years, and during these years no other knowledge can be cultivated than that which was connate. Those at the west spoke next. They said, man is not born with knowledge like a beast, but is born an ability and an inclination, an ability to learn and an inclination to love. And he is born an ability not merely to learn, but also to understand and be wise. He is born a most perfect inclination to love not only the things which are of self and the world, but also that which are of God and of heaven. Consequently, from his parents, man is born an organ which at first lives in the external senses alone and in none that are internal. And this, that he may successively become a man, first natural, then rational, and finally spiritual. This he would not become were he born into knowledges and loves like the beast, for connate knowledge and affections limit that progress, but connate ability and inclination limit nothing. Therefore, man can be perfected in science, intelligence, and wisdom to eternity. Those on the south then took up the subject and expressed their opinion, saying, "Man cannot possibly acquire any knowledge from himself, but must acquire it from others. And being unable to acquire any knowledge from himself, he is also unable to acquire any love, for where there is no knowledge, there is no love. Knowledge and love are inseparable companions and can no more be separated than can will and understanding or affection and thought, yea, no more than essence and form. Therefore, as man acquires knowledges from others, love adjoined itself thereto as its companion. The universal love which adjoins itself is a love of knowing, of understanding, and of being wise. This love man alone has, and no beast, and it flows in from God. We agree with our companions on the West that man is not born into any love, and thence not into any knowledge, but that he is born only into an inclination to love, and thence into an ability to receive knowledge, not from himself, but from others, that is, through others. It is said through others because neither have they received any knowledge from themselves, but from God. We agree also with our companions on the north that when first born, man is like ground wherein no seeds have been planted, but in which may be planted all kinds of seed, noble as well as ignoble. To this we add that beasts are born into natural loves and thence into the sciences corresponding thereto. Yet from these sciences they do not learn anything, do not think, understand, and become wise, but by their means they are carried along by their loves, almost like blind men, led through the streets by dogs. As to understanding, they are blind, or rather like somnambulists, who with their understanding asleep, do what they do from blind science. Lastly, spoke those on the east. They said, "We assent to what our brothers have said, that man knows nothing from himself, but from others and through others, and this to the end that he may learn and acknowledge that all he knows, understands, and is wise in, is from God. Also, that in no other way can man be conceived, born, and brought forth by the Lord, and become his image and likeness. For he becomes an image of the Lord by acknowledging and believing that he has received, and does receive, every good of love and charity, and every truth of wisdom and faith from the Lord, and not the least thing thereof from himself. And he becomes a likeness of the Lord by sensating them in himself as if they were from himself. He has this sensation because he is not born into knowledges, but receives them, and what he receives appears to him as if it were from himself. Moreover, it is granted man by the Lord so as to sensate, in order that he may be a man and not a beast. For it is by the fact that he wills, thinks, loves, knows, understands and is wise, as if from himself, that man receives knowledges and exalts them into intelligence, and by their uses, into wisdom. In this way, the Lord cojoins man to himself, and man cojoins himself to the Lord. All this would not be possible had it not been provided by the Lord that man should be born in total ignorance." After this speech, it was the desire of all that some conclusion be formed from the discussion, and the following was formed. Man is born into no knowledge, that he may come into all knowledge, and may advance into intelligence, and by means of intelligence, into wisdom. And he is born into no love, that by applications of knowledges from intelligence, he may come into all love, and by love towards the neighbour, into love to the Lord, and so may be cojoined to the Lord, and by this conjunction become a man and live to eternity. The third question. Number 135. I then took the paper and read the third subject of discussion, which was, what is signified by the tree of life, what by the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and what by eating of them? Because this was an arcanum requiring a more profound understanding, they all requested that those who were from the east would unfold it, for those who are at the east are in flamy light, that is, in the wisdom of love, which wisdom is meant by the garden in Eden, wherein those two trees were placed. The men at the east then answered, we will speak, but because man cannot acquire anything whatever from himself, but receives all from the Lord, we will speak from him, but still from ourselves, as if of ourselves. They then said, a tree signifies man, and its fruit signifies the good of life. By the tree of life, therefore, is meant man living from God, or God living in man. And because love and wisdom and charity and faith, or good and truth, make the life of God in man, it is these that are signified by the tree of life, and from them man has life eternal. The like is signified by the tree of life in the apocalypse, of which it will be granted man to eat. By the tree of knowledge of good and evil is signified the man who believes that he lives from himself and not from God. Thus, that love and wisdom, charity and faith, or good and truth, are his own in man and not God's. Believing this because he thinks and wills and speaks and acts in all likeness and appearances as if from himself. And because from this belief he persuades himself that God has implanted in him, that is, as infused into him, his own divine. Therefore the serpent said, God doth know that in the day that ye eat of the fruit of that tree, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. From Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. By eating of those trees is signified reception and appropriation. By eating of the tree of life, the reception of life eternal, and by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the reception of damnation. Therefore, both Adam and his wife were accursed together with the serpent. By the serpent is meant the devil, as to the love of self and the pride of self-intelligence. This love is a possessor of that tree, and men who are in pride from this love are such trees. They therefore are in enormous error who believe that Adam was wise and did good from himself, and that this was his state of integrity, when yet Adam was himself accursed on account of that very belief, this being what is signified by his eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, he then fell from the state of integrity in which he had been by virtue of believing that he was wise and did good from God and not at all from himself, this being meant by eating of the tree of life. The Lord alone, when he was in the world, was wise of himself and did good from himself, because the divine itself was in him and was his from birth. Therefore, he became the Redeemer and Saviour by his own power. From this and the preceding discussions, they then form the following conclusion. By the tree of life and by the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and by eating from them is signified that for man, life is God in him, and he then has heaven and eternal life. But that death for man is the persuasion and belief that life in man is not God, but is himself, whence he has hell and eternal death, which is damnation. Number 136. After this, they looked at the paper left on the table by the angels, and saw written at the bottom, combine your three conclusions into a single statement. They then put the three together and saw that they were in one coherent series, and that this series or statement was as follows. Man was created to receive love and wisdom from God, and yet in all likeness, as if it were from himself. And this for the sake of reception and conjunction. For this reason, he is not born into any love, or into any knowledge, or even into any power of loving or of being wise from himself. Therefore, If he ascribes all the good of love and all the truth of wisdom to God, he becomes a living man. But if he ascribes them to himself, he becomes a dead man. These words they wrote upon a fresh sheet of paper, which they placed upon the table. And lo, suddenly, angels were present in a bright light, and they carried the paper to heaven. After it had been read there, those who were sitting on the seats heard thence the words, thrice repeated, "Well said." And immediately an angel therefrom was seen as though flying. He had two wings about his feet and two about his temple, and in his hand he held the awards which consisted of robes and caps and wreaths of laurel. After alighting, he gave to those sitting at the north robes of colour of opal, to those at the west robes of scarlet, to those at the south hats, the brims of which were adorned with fillets of gold and pearls, and the risings at the left side with diamonds cut in the form of flowers, and to those at the east wreaths of laurel in which were rubies and sapphires. Adorned with these awards, they all went home from the sport of wisdom, and when they would show themselves to their wives, the latter came out to meet them, they also being distinguished for the adornments given them from heaven, whereat the men wondered.